Open up your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6. And beginning with verse number 10, this is an incredible passage of Scripture. We have actually been in a series entitled Simple Things, where we're just looking at some different simple things that we want to look at. Maybe we've forgotten about them. They're just really simple. The Bible talks about them, and here they are. And God wants to remind us of that. And today we're just going to be talking about prayer, something very simple. And part of the reason why I wanted to preach on prayer and talk about prayer today is, does anybody know what this coming Thursday is? National Day of Prayer. And as kind of an announcement to you, and most of you already know this, but this Thursday we're having a service right here at 6:30 for the National Day of Prayer. It's a worship time that we want to come and we want to worship God and spend some time in prayer for our country and our community and just for everything around. But we encourage you to be there. I think it's going to be exciting. I'm hoping that you'll be there. But Ephesians chapter 6 is one of those passages that really talks about this armor passage. You know, it's that famous passage talking about that. But what I want to ask you to do today, if you have your Bibles, please read through along with me with your Bibles. But also, you know, if you don't, obviously the words are going to be up here on the screen, but I encourage you to bring your Bibles and to be able to read and look at them. But what I want to ask this morning is that we read this together, okay? So let's just do something a little different today. Let's everybody stand up and we're going to read this scripture together. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. You can have a seat. Ephesians chapter 6 is just, I think, one of those incredible chapters. It's a chapter that's about battle. It talks about battle, the battle that we face every day as Christians. And in fact, if you go back to chapter 4, 5, and 6, it talks about some of the kinds of battles that we're in. If you look at chapter 4, it's talking about living in unity and in cooperation in the local church. And then you get to that same chapter. At the end of that chapter, it's chapter 4, it's talking about living a life of holiness and living a life of purity. And then in chapter 5, it talks about how we're to live as a family and within our own family. And then also, when we move to chapter 6, it's how we conduct ourselves in the workplace. That's really the scope of the battle that we face. We see it in our everyday lives. We see it in the workplace. We see it in our families. We see it in our world, in our neighborhoods, and all around us. Those are some of the things that's where the battle that we are in seems to be focused upon. That's the scope of the battle we face. Now, I don't know how you feel about terms like spiritual warfare or battle talk when it comes to living the Christian life. It just seems like sometimes those terms kind of get thrown around just a little bit. But the reality is, and I want us to know this, we are in a spiritual battle. Can you say that? We are in a spiritual battle. We are in that spiritual battle. And when we come to this passage of Scripture in particular, in chapter 6, verse 10, it's this famous passage on the armor of the believer, and it speaks of how we ought to stand with every part of our lives adorned, with every part of our being adorned with the necessary battle armor. And the armor never comes off. It never comes off. Now, having said all that, I want us to understand today that prayer is vital to the battle that we face. Prayer is vital to the battle we face. Because with prayer, we buckle on all of the other armor. It needs to undergird our whole fight. And if we think that we put on the armor of God, but we're not praying, we're only fooling ourselves. We're leaving our defenses down. And so our relationship with God, our spiritual walk, our Christian experience, well, let me say it this way. Your relationship with God, your spiritual experience, all of that, it will never rise above your prayer life. It will never rise above your prayer life. Prayer is vital for every single believer. Paul comes to the end of this list here of the Christian soldier's armor, and he writes in verse number 18 these things here, and that's what I want to focus on today. But he says in verse 18, he says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests." And with this in mind, he says, "Be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." And then he says, he goes on in verse 19, he says, "Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, that words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." You know, communication is so very vital in any battle. If there's an enemy can cut off your communication, immediately you become isolated and you become helpless and you become alone. And for the Christian, prayer, that is our line of communication with our commander in chief. God knows our situation. He knows it better than we do. And he knows, likewise, he knows the enemy's position just as well as he knows ours. But God moves in response to prayer. If the enemy can deter us or distract us from praying, you know, then he has us right where he wants us. And we become isolated, we become helpless, we become alone. That is when we're only trying to use our own resources. And God doesn't intend it for us to fight with our own resources. And in fact, they're of no spiritual use at all. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 4. "The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world," Paul says. "On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." If we're not vitally in touch with God, then what are we fighting with? Are we trying to use our own weaponry? Are we trying to use our own resources? And what happens is that the enemy then is very concerned to keep us involved with all these other things that are going on around us, as long as he can keep us from prayer. Someone once said, and I like this here, someone once said that Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon their knees. So this morning, what I want to do is I want us to consider three very simple things. And here's what we're going to just talk about in the next couple minutes. We want to talk about the priority of prayer. We want to talk about the power of prayer. And we want to talk about the perseverance of prayer. And before we do that, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for just the opportunity that we have each and every day just to come before you. We thank you for this topic of prayer, and I think oftentimes we don't see it as being such an amazing thing, but God, we know it is our frontline defense. We know that it is the thing that makes a difference, and we know that you want to hear us and to answer our prayers, but we've got to be praying before you to do that. God, I pray that you will just instill in us that desire to just be in communication with you always. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so the first thing we want to talk about is the priority of prayer. In verse number 18, we read this now twice, but there's one very little important word that we all should see. It's obviously very important because Paul uses it. It appears several times in that one verse. The Apostle Paul obviously thought that this was really an important word, and he's trying to make a point. But the word that I'm referring to is the word "all," and its counterpart, the word "always." But just notice that, let's look at that one more time. He says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests." With this in mind, he says, "Be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." I think that's the priority of prayer. We're to always be giving ourselves to prayer. We're to always be doing that in all of its forms and with all of our energy and in all situations and for all people. Everything in our lives needs to be supported by prayer. And so let me just ask you, is everything supported in your life? Everything that you do, is it supported by prayer? Is communication with God, is that the kind of first priority in your life? See, the battle is always raging. The enemy is desperate because he knows that his time is short. He's not going to call a timeout for rest and recreation. The battle is always raging. And if that's the case, then our armor needs to always be in place, and we need to remain alert, watching and praying. Now listen to 1 Peter 5:8. Peter says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." I think that's where the challenge comes. The challenge is to open up our eyes, to open up our spiritual eyes, and to get serious about the battle that we're in. It's not a day to be idle, but a day for the church to be on its knees and to truly seek the heart of God and to invite Him to be a part of everything that we do. And He longs for that. God longs for us to be a part, to include Him and to be communicating with Him. You know, sometimes we say this. We say, "Where is God? You know, why don't we see more of His hand all among us? Where are the people who will humble them?" This is His answer. "Where are the people who will humble themselves and pray and seek My face and to repent of their worldliness and sin and just hold on to Me until I rain down My blessings upon them?" So I think too often we try to do things on our own strength. And then we kind of wonder why church doesn't have the zest and the zeal that we're looking for. And all the time the Spirit of God is just saying, you know, come to Me. Let Me fill you. Let Me empower you. Let Me transform your hearts. We just, simply put, need to keep pressing into God and getting a hold of Him for ourselves, doing business with God for the Lord's sake and for our sake and for the church's sake and for the community's sake and for our family's sake. I wanted to look at that once again, verse 18. And would you read this with me? Would you emphasize those words all as we read this? Read this together with me. "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." Now, I want you to notice something here. I'm going to change this because I'm going to change the word here. I'm not going to change the word, but I'm going to underline a different one. I want you to notice the prayers and requests on that. Now, the word prayer comes from a more general word for praying. It speaks of the necessity of always being in an attitude of prayer, of having a consistent prayer life. But then the word request, that comes from a word that relates to the special times of need. If Christians truly practice prayer as a way of life, then when the special times of need come, they will be prepared for them to make those urgent requests before God and to see Him move into the situation. So we're talking about the priority of prayer, calling out to God in the midst of the battle, because we are, in fact, in a battle. And then secondly, we look at the power of prayer. The power of prayer. We actually see where the power of prayer lies when Paul says that, he says in verse 18, he says, "And pray in the Spirit." Pray in the Spirit, he says, on all occasions. So what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Well, immediately there's three things that come to my mind when I think about that phrase here. First of all, if your prayer life has become dry and lifeless, then maybe what you need to do is to invite the Spirit into your prayer time. Invite God's Spirit into that time. Galatians chapter 5 talks about walking in the Spirit or walking in fellowship with Him and how our lives are filled with His guidance and filled with His power. See, if He's in our lives, He will enable us to watch and to pray. There be that growing desire for prayer and a growing perseverance in prayer. We're being led by the Holy Spirit then into a place of prayer. And so the challenge is to invite the Spirit of God into each of our prayer lives. The second thing that comes to mind is that we should be sensitive. Praying in the Spirit, I think, means to be sensitive to what God is sensitive to. To be sensitive to what God is sensitive to. To develop that sensitivity to what God is sensitive to. And you know what will happen when we do that? He actually will put a burden on us for someone or for something, some situation, and move us to prayer. So what I'm saying is that he's leading us to prayer, to pray the very will and the very purpose of God. We become partners with God in his plan and in his purpose. I like what 1 John 5, verse 14 says. He says that if we want something, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. It's talking about, I think, being sensitive to the will of God. And in that, he will respond to us in prayer. And then finally, praying in the Spirit, allowing God's Spirit to intercede, allowing God's Spirit to come in and intercede for us. I'm reminded of Romans 8:26, which says to us that we are to pray, or that the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. It helps us in our weakness. I love this verse here. He says, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us, listen to this, with groans that words cannot express. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a powerful prayer? Isn't that just powerful? The Spirit intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. That's amazing to me. We need the Holy Spirit actively involved in our prayer life. We need him leading us and energizing us. And so we need to invite him into our prayer life, and we need to be sensitive to his will, and we need to allow him to intercede for us. That is the power of prayer. And then finally, what we see is the perseverance of prayer. I want you one more time to just take a look at and see what our text says once again, verse number 18. It says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And then notice the yellow there. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. I read that and I think that's incredible, because the Bible is just filled with accounts of people who have persevered. Do you remember some of those? Think about some of those times, because I'm going to give you a list of them, but there's many, many more. But it's just filled with accounts of people who have persevered, who are holding on to God, sometimes when he was all that they had left to hold on to. And God answered them in some supernatural ways. I mean, it's Jacob at Peniel. If you remember Genesis chapter 2, he's holding on to, he's wrestling the angel of the Lord, and he says, I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to do that unless you bless me. I love the picture of that, don't you? Persevering. Or it's Elisha, who, raising the Shunammite woman's son from the dead in 2 Kings chapter 4, Elisha sends... This is just, always amazed me, this passage, but Elisha sends his staff on ahead of him with his servant Gehazi, and he just says, lay it on the boy's body, and it's going to cure him, okay? And so the guy does. He goes over there, and nothing happens. And so that word gets back to Elisha, and nothing happened. And so Elisha has to come himself, and what he does is he just lays himself wide open all over. He goes and lays on top of the body of this guy, spreads himself out on top of him. And that does a little bit. The body starts to warm just a little bit. So what does Elisha do? He just begins to pace back and forth. And finally, one more time, he just lays on top of his body. And all of a sudden, the man just starts to sneeze and he gets up. He sneezed 7 times and he got up. I mean, it's just perseverance. Perseverance. It's Job in the midst of tragedy and the overwhelming grief, and yet he continues. Job continues to trust in God. It's blind Bartimaeus crying out to Jesus in the streets of Jericho in Mark chapter 10. The crowd tells him to be quiet, and for a while, even Jesus doesn't see him, or seem to be paying attention to him. But this guy, he just keeps on crying, persevering until Jesus comes over and restores his sight. Or it's the story that Jesus told of the persistent widow in Luke chapter 18. And this widow, she comes before the judge and begging him to just bring about some sort of justice against an enemy. And he won't have anything to do with her for a while, at least it seems. But she just keeps on pleading her case over and over again. She won't leave the judge alone until he finally gives in. And do you remember what Luke says about that? Luke says that Jesus told this story to teach his disciples that they should always pray and not give up. That's perseverance. See, here's the bottom line. New Life needs people who will persevere in prayer. We need people here who will persevere in prayer, who will make prayer that the priority that it deserves to be, and to pray with power, and to be energized by the Holy Spirit. Perseverance, priority, and power. If your prayer life has been lacking, if you desperately want God's power in your life, if you're just hungry for more of God, then let me encourage you to go to Him in prayer. You know, one of the things that Jesus said during His last days was, "My house shall be what? Anybody? A house of prayer." So let's pray. Let's pray together. Father, that's one of my biggest prayers, is that this would become a house of prayer, that we would be seeking You each and every day, that we would be on our knees and looking to You for guidance throughout our lives, that we would recognize that in our own power, God, there's nothing that we can do. We can't do anything by our own power to defeat the enemy in the battle that we are facing right now. God, and so I pray that You will lead us as a congregation to be that house of prayer that is seeking You and on their knees. And God, help us to see how vital that is. Help us to keep our defenses up and to recognize how very vital that prayer is, and to growth within the church and to growth within our own lives. Father, we're thankful for just opportunities that we can communicate with You. And we pray all these things in Your Son, name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen.